live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. Can also text the show. You know the number for that. Missed the first hour. A lot of Astro stuff. Little football worked in there as well. But all good stuff and all available on podcastarena.com. And if you're just getting in your car, welcome. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
It's a Friday. Let's have some fun.
Partying.
Yeah, get everybody in the mood for an Astros victory this evening. So that hope will be alive for Saturday.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah. Where's that? We got to have that drop just for the Astros. Couple things before we move on to the NFL. Just want to throw a brief plug out there for Sports Map because there's tons of good stuff on there. Lots of Astros today. Obviously, we've got a roundtable video on a midseason report card for Bill O'Brien that involves Lance and John and Raheel. So, and then Palillo's got his column up saying there's still a chance. And Barry Laminack has his video that will run on the show Sunday night. Houston versus Washington, D.C. Which city's better? But there's not a lot of cities that Houston would beat. I think D.C. is one of them, in my personal opinion. And Ken Hoffman has a column. There's just tons of Astro stuff on there. There's the weather report for the NFL games from Stephen the Weather Guy. So, I mean, whatever you're into, we've got it. This month is already going to be the biggest month in the history of Sports Map. It's already surpassed our record month by a bunch. And appreciate everybody continuing to go to the site. Keep doing it because I've got a magical number in mind that I'd like to get to by the end of the month.
1 trillion.
Something like that. But yes. We're going to have to get on our horse to get there and kind of need the Astros to keep winning for that.
That would help.
But keep checking out the site. Appreciate all you guys. All right. Before we get to the NFL games, there is a college game tonight. Do you have any opinion on the USC 10.5? I'm seeing road favorite here.
Yeah, the number's gone down. It almost pushed up to 14, and I probably would have liked to play Colorado at 14. The problem is there's so many banged up guys on both these teams. I don't really know what to expect, especially defensively. I think USC is going to score because Slovis and his receivers are healthy. Besides that, though, it's a mash unit, both these teams. So I don't really know what to expect. It's a stay away from me. The over got juiced way up. That's the only total you can look at is the over because Colorado is horrific on defense. But yeah, it's going to end up being a no play for me. I'm just going to get some baseball in.
Okay. I got one hockey play for the people tonight, and it's a late nighter. Washington, Vancouver, over 6 goals.
Vancouver's
been a really good team for overs so far, and you know, because their defense sucks and they've got some guys who can score. So 6 is the total. I'll be going
over. Is that how that math works?
Yes.
If you're good. Good offense. There's a lot
more to it than just that, but that's all.
Nope. That's the gist.
It's unlike the football games, which we'll break down in detail. I'm not going to go into great detail on why I'm playing certain hockey games.
Just, okay, because people don't care.
Nah, we're 7-2 so far. So
that's what people care.
That's
about.
What you care about. All right, let's go to the NFL and we start with Giants Lions. Lions -6.5 now, down from 7.5.
Yeah, I got some Giants at 7. I'd recommend buying to 7. If you're looking to play the Giants, I don't want the Lions here. What I do kind of like is the over in this game. I feel like this is a situation where that Kerryon Johnson, I think, is a really good player. The problem is the Lions they're not really interested in running the ball.
Yeah.
And I think without Kerryon Johnson, they're going to be even less interested in running the ball. So they're going to be chucking it around. That's not good if you're a Giants fan because the Giants can't defend the pass. And the Giants look like they're going to have their full cast of characters back and healthy on offense. So, to me, it's an over game. But I like the Giants if I can get 7.
All right. We go to... that thing just shut down. Sorry. We go to Tennessee where they've pretty much been 2.5-point favorites all week. They're still 2.5-point favorites. I like the Bucks quite a bit here. And we've talked about this one all week. All the travel they had to do before that London game. And now they've got a week off. I don't think the Titans are very good. I like the Bucks getting points.
Yeah, I like the Bucks too. I kept hoping this thing would go to three, and it looks like it's not going to go to three. It's just scary to bet on Jameis Winston because
it is.
He could easily have a game. If he turns it over four times, you can't win this bet.
But you know what? I feel as good about him as I do Ryan Tannehill.
Honestly, Ryan Tannehill's more. He's less likely to turn it over four times. He's not going to give you much greatness, but whatever greatness Jameis Winston gives you is almost always negated by turnovers.
Yeah, and especially if you go back to the game before the break where they win that game if he doesn't turn the damn ball over.
They outplayed them. I mean, it's easy to say they outplayed them minus the turnovers.
Yeah, but that's,
they really did.
They did. And but I do think he kind of goes Jekyll and Hyde, and I think we'll get Jekyll.
Boy, I hope it's, or is even
it Heckle and Jekyll.
I just need like a little bit. I don't even need him to be like great. Just don't be a trash can.
Bears -3.5 against Chargers. Boy, you talk about two teams I want no part of right now.
I'm with you. I like the under in this game, and I got a little bit burned by the under on the Bears last week against the Saints. The Saints had their way, and the Bears were able to get back in that game, score some points. But I still obviously don't like Mitch Trubisky and what this offense looks like. I can't imagine the Bears think that Mitch Trubisky throwing it 40-plus times is the answer, which is what he did last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they run the ball a lot more. What we saw last week was they hand the ball off to start the second half, and Montgomery fumbles, and then he never sees the ball again. So I imagine they go back to a run-heavy scheme. And
problem is, the running backs just aren't very good.
They're not. That's why I like the under.
Yeah.
So keep the clock moving. Both these teams want to keep the clock moving. The Chargers, we talk about this all the time. They're a snail. I mean, Phillip Rivers is a let the clock wind down to two, snap the ball, and let the clock start winding back down to two again. So it's an underplay for me. If I had to play a side, it would be the Chargers, just because I can't give points with this Bears offense.
Seahawks -7.5 is now +115 on the Falcons.
Yeah.
That's a big move from 3.5 opening.
Well, I think it's the Matt Ryan factor. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not betting on the Falcons because the Falcons have signs all over the place that they've totally quit. And if it's Matt Schaub out there instead of Matt Ryan,
oof.
I think it's even hard for the Falcons to do what they're always capable of doing, and that's backdoor covering, because Ryan has been, while the rest of this team has been horrible, you can't really point at Matt Ryan. His numbers say, he's doing his job. But I can't bet them right now. I want to so bad with 7.5. You know how I feel about the Seahawks. Yep. I think they're overrated. But without Matt Ryan, the Falcons are, they might as well be the Bengals to me.
Jets +6.5 at Jaguars.
Yeah, again, I'd like it better if you bought to seven.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I'd like to get it to a touchdown.
I think what you're getting here on this line is an overreaction to what we just saw, which was Bill Belichick pull Sam Darnold's pants down on television. And everybody's like, oh, the Jets suck with or without Sam. Remember a week ago, everybody's like, whoa, look how different they look with Sam at quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, Bill Belichick, who just owns a young quarterback, and everyone acts like Sam Darnold sucks again. Let's slow down. Do I think the Jets are great? No, but I think they're pretty solid defensively. I think they're a lot better with Sam Darnold. He's a respectable young quarterback. I'd rather have him than Gardner Minshew, and I'm getting almost a touchdown. To me, it's Jets.
Jets pretty good against the run, too, which is what the Jaguars do best. So
an under seems like a play to me too.
Yeah. Eagles +2 at Bills.
I think I like the Eagles
here. I do too. I kind of feel like, well, and I'd see what the money line is on them if you're going to play that. But I think the Eagles bounce back here. I think the Bills a little bit overvalued.
Eagles starting to get healthy. The Bills are overvalued, and we talked about the quarterbacks that they've seen, and it's not a pretty group. Carson Wentz will undoubtedly be the second best quarterback they've seen this year besides Brady. The problem with the Bills' offense is they're not built to play from behind. I expect the Eagles to score. The way that teams have taken advantage of the Eagles is throwing the ball on them. And the Bills, that's not their game plan. They're trying to run the ball, and they're trying to play defense. It seems like a bad stylistic matchup. I'll take Eagles in points.
The one thing, though, and I'm with you on that, but the one thing about the Bills is they seem to, fourth quarter, they seem to pull away or catch up. And they don't do it traditionally. Like, even going back to the Jets game in week one, you know, suddenly Allen starts completing passes. They're sneaky good that way. I just think the Eagles are a better football team and they get it done. Here's one that...
By the way, if you're looking to use a teaser,
yeah,
I think Eagles are a good tease piece because the Bills are not a team that you want to expect to cover anything more than a touchdown.
Right.
So if you get the Eagles up to +8, I think you're in a pretty strong spot.
Okay. Rams -11.5 against the Bengals.
Yeah, this is a weird game. I don't want to give that many points with the Rams. I feel like if I had to play it, that would be the play. Just because this is sort of the teacher versus student thing. And I like the teacher a lot more than I like the student so far. So
the student's team sucks.
Yeah. So I think it's Rams or nothing for me.
Cardinals +10.5 at Saints. I like the Cardinals here. Not that I don't believe in the Saints, but double-digit points here is a lot. Even if Drew Brees plays, he's not going to be the Drew Brees that we're used to seeing right off the bat. And if he doesn't play, this Cardinals team is competitive, man. They're not good, but they're not the Dolphins or these other trash heap teams. And with each week, Kyler Murray gets better and better. Cliff Kingsbury gets more comfortable. I like the Cardinals here.
Yeah, if I had to play a side, that's the side. I'm not... You know, I don't know if it's a game I'm getting involved in just because the questions about quarterback are serious. And also, I'm done betting against the Saints.
Yeah, well,
I've been punished.
Agreed, but you know what? I haven't bet against the Saints this year. Yeah. And this is the first time that I've said, okay, I like the other side with the Saints. So, Texans -7 against the Raiders. I think it's a beatdown, frankly.
I think so, too. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. This is a Raiders team that can't get pressure on the quarterback. And if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, Deshaun's going to have a day. So it feels to me like a solid Texans win here. And I'm not usually eager to bet the Texans giving points. But this is a situation where I think I will.
Another game that I like quite a bit, Panther +5.5 against 49er.
I like the Panthers too here, and sort of the same thing we've talked about with the Bills and the Patriots, and how their record looks nice, but who have they played? 49ers they've played the lowest winning percentage schedule, opponent schedule, by far in the NFC. I think they're in the 240s. Next is Dallas in the 400s. So they've had by far the easiest schedule in the NFC. This isn't a walk through Carolina team. They're confident right now.
And we've seen the Panthers take their game on the road too, which I'm not too worried about that.
What I will say about then, it's hard to the Niners, what they don't allow is receiving out of the backfield, which that's a big thing for the Panthers. They want to do that. So it's going to be strength versus strength in that game.
And, you know, they're going to have to find a way to get the ball to McCaffrey out of the backfield. If they do, I think they're going to score points. But, man, and something else that kind of gets lost, this Panther defense is really good.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do the last three games when we come back from the break. So, would you tell the people about Academy?
Yeah, man. Listen, if you're looking for Astros gear, and by the way, pretty much everybody's looking for Astros gear right now. Where's the place to get it? Academy. Astros are playing for the World Series, and Academy Sports and Outdoors is your hometown store for your hometown team. Get everything you need to cheer on your Astros as they take the championship back. Officially licensed World Series apparel, your favorite Stars jersey, plus all the hats, tees, other gear you need to represent H-Town from head to toe. The Astros aren't done making history, so get to Academy Sports and Outdoor and academy.com. to be ready to witness it all. MLB trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. And guys, again, we talk about you want the gear, you don't want to pay the stadium prices because they are out of control. Trust me, I know. Academy is the place to go. That's Academy Sports and Outdoors, academy.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and we were going through the NFL lines. We still have a few games that we haven't gotten to yet, so we'll get to those. Colts -5 at home against the Broncos. I like the Colts here. My only concern is big game last week against the Texans. We got the Steelers next week, which doesn't look like a big game anymore, so it's not quite the sandwich that it looked like before the season. But I think the Broncos have quit.
I think so, too, and I think it's sort of evidenced by the fact that they're trading away guys like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and, you know, obviously the Colts, their strength is going to be stopping the run. So now you're asking Joe Flacco to beat a team that doesn't have an outside weapon. It's just a weird situation for the Broncos. I don't like their offense. And I do like the Colts. So we were talking during one of the breaks about sort of a dark horse MVP candidate is Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett's on pace to lead the league in touchdown passes. I mean, he's really having a fantastic season.
Wouldn't that be something way under the radar if he wouldn't won the MVP when Andrew Luck retired?
Oh man, that'd be out of this world. But yeah, I like the I'm with you on them. I like them too.
Patriots -12 against the Browns. I'm not in the habit of betting against the Patriots, but I don't feel like 12 points is I feel like that's a little too much for me. If I had to bet it, I'd probably go the other side.
You'd go the Browns?
Yeah, I know the Browns suck, but
if I had to bet it, I would go the Patriots. It's what I always say. What does Bill Belichick do to young quarterbacks? And when you think about the coaching discrepancy in this matchup, Belichick versus Freddie Kitchens.
Right.
I mean, it's about as big of a gap as you can get in the NFL. Maybe the worst coach in the NFL versus maybe the greatest coach of all time. So, you know, if the Patriots, if they want to do it, I think the Patriots can clear that number. It's just a matter of,
you never
know what the Patriots are going
to
do.
Yeah, the thing is, I just can't give up 12 points. I'm not betting this game. I wouldn't get anywhere near it. But we talk about the Browns being an emotional team. If they get out there and play with them early, I could see them hanging around a long time.
Yeah.
And Packers now -4 at Kansas City. I love Kansas City here, whether it's Matt Moore or Patrick Mahomes. I got it at 4.5, and I love the Chiefs here.
I'm with you, too.
Monday night, Steelers -14 against the Dolphins.
Probably Dolphins for me if I had to play it.
Yeah, kind of.
It's not fun.
You got to hold your nose on that one.
Yeah, it's not fun, certainly, but the Dolphins haven't quit. Like, if you watch their games, they haven't quit. They're awful. They're not talented.
They were right there with the Bills at halftime last week. You go back to the Cowboys game, and they were right there with them at halftime. I mean, they're at least trying.
Yeah. Is that good enough? No, not really. But I think they can cover 14 or at least stay within 14 against the Steelers.
God, that's a Monday night game, and you get the Dolphins Steelers. Ugh. All right. There you have it. That's your NFL. And then if you're looking for colleges, we had Brad Powers on yesterday at 6:00. So that's on podcastarena.com. So all the college plays right there. So that should give you enough to go on for the weekend. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Did you see that James Holzhauer guy is returning to Jeopardy?
No.
Yeah,
apparently. Letting him back? They want to give him more money?
Yeah, apparently he'll be returning for the Tournament of Champions.
Okay.
Which starts on November 4th.
Will he go against Ken Jennings?
I don't think so.
I think it's yearly champions.
Yeah, it's like all the ones for the year.
Oh, okay.
So he had a 32-game winning streak, as you recall.
That's very strong.
Before he lost to Emma Botcher.
You think he threw that game?
A 27-year-old librarian. I think at some point when you make enough money,
you're like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're probably like, dude, this is great, but now people are recognizing me on the street, and I'll take my $1.29 million and get the hell out of here, which is what he got after taxes.
Plus, I think it was middle of summer, so he wanted to get back to Vegas so he could start doing football. I mean, he's a professional handicapper.
I thought he was a baseball handicapper more than anything. I could be wrong.
I think he just does it all, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. But, so he'll be back for your Tournament of Champions. And he'll get a rematch with the librarian. See, that's who I always think of winning these things is 27-year-old librarians. I mean, that's who you expect to win Jeopardy.
Yeah.
But the thing we talked about, he had $2.4 million in earnings, but after taxes, it was only $1.29 million.
Yeah, only.
Well, I know, but that's almost 50%.
Where does he live? California.
California. Yeah. See, well, no, the show's in California. He lives in Vegas, but you still have to pay California taxes, which kind of sucks. So, yeah, move the show to Texas, and then the people can keep their money.
Yeah.
713-780.
Move the show to Montana.
Do they have income tax in Montana?
I don't know, but I mean,
I think they do. I think
I can't imagine they're going to charge you that much.
I think the only places that don't have state income tax, and you can correct me on this because somebody will know, Washington, Nevada, Texas, Florida. I think there's one more in the Northeast, like a little one that nobody.
Alaska.
Alaska doesn't have?
Alaska doesn't.
Okay.
Here's the full list. Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, Wyoming.
So there's no place on the East Coast?
No.
Except, well, Florida's technically East Coast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's also South. So,
Well, yeah, so not Montana, Wyoming. That's the perfect place for it.
Okay. There's some nice places in Wyoming.
Visit Laramie.
Yeah.
That's where they should have the Jeopardy headquarters.
But wasn't that where Longmire was from?
No, he was from Arapahoe County.
I know, but he was from Wyoming, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everybody died there.
Yeah. So a lot of crazy crime happens in one county in Wyoming. All the crime in Wyoming is right there concentrated in one county.
Well, in the books, a lot of the crimes happen in other counties that he has to go to.
Yeah,
but so I'm sorry, I can't go to Wyoming. I don't want to die.
Okay, South Dakota it is, then.
It's going to have to be South Dakota.
Yep.
And then there's what was the other show that was based in that area, and it's another place I'll never go because
Yellowstone.
Everybody died. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to Montana either because everybody dies. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Absaroka County is where...
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not Arapahoe.
Yeah, thank you, Texter. And Not Unreal David G said, we're listing places not to go because of murder. Don't forget Cabot Cove from Murder, She Wrote. And I never really watched that, so I wouldn't know where people die, but I'm guessing it was a whole series about people being murdered and her finding them. So I'm guessing there's a lot of death there. And I would never go to Maine because of Stephen King's novels.
All the Stephen King books.
Yeah, you either get killed by a vampire or an angry dog or even a truck.
Or a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that can get you there. And then on Twitter...
Or they dump pig's blood on you?
Yeah, I don't want that. Well, it says, do you still have to pay federal income taxes on those earnings, right? Yeah, I think I told this story before. I read about when Phil Mickelson won a golf tournament, and I might have been Ireland, but it was somewhere in the England, Ireland, Scotland area.
Are you saying they're all the same to you?
Well, you know, I'm sure that... I better not say that since we're going there. They may kill me because we have listeners over there, believe it or not. But he won like $600,000. He got taxed by whatever country he won in significantly. He got taxed by California and he got taxed by the U.S. government.
It's garbage.
And so by the time he got home, it was like, $600,000 sounds great, but.
You made 50 bucks.
Yeah, well, that's one thing, too, that. You know, when you look at people's salaries, and it looks like a ton of money, and it is a ton of money, don't get me wrong, but you know, the government takes a nice bite out of it. And especially, you know, that's one thing, and this is what got me in trouble with the IRS, was poker winnings, which, you know, you have an investment you make in a poker tournament. Like, let's say you play the main event, you cash for $57,000. Well, you only cash for $47,000 because you put $10,000 up, which... people don't realize. And so when you play a lot of big tournaments like that, you may see guys that cash a lot and they're not really making a bunch of money because by the time they get taxed, by the time you factor in the buy-ins, I remember Negreanu saying one year he had like $2.5 million in earnings and lost money because of all the high dollar buy-ins he did. And, you know, and once the taxes came out. And that's why if I ever in my next life wind up just playing poker and writing novels, going to be in Canada because they don't tax you on winnings, which is a really cool thing.
Eh?
That's right. I check raise, eh? Oh, geez. Oh, gosh, you got the aces. Oh, oh man. 713-780-ESPN. Your number is 713-780-3776. This is a Shining is in Colorado. Yeah, it is, but,
well, thank
but
you.
Maine is where most of his stuff takes place. Hey, I thought this was kind of a funny story. It kind of reminded me of Jackie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Four American Airlines flight attendants are facing money laundering charges after they were caught with more than $22,000 cash during a routine customs check.
Is it what? They're not balling out of control? What's the big deal?
They were arrested at Miami International Airport after arriving from Chile. Customs officials...
Good sea bass there.
Yeah. Yeah, Chilean sea bass is the best.
The best. It's tremendous.
It's tremendous.
Sea bass.
And there's good and bad bass on both sides. But the Chilean, the best. We're going to go. We're going to take over Chile so we can have their bass. The customs officials grew suspicious when one of the Carlos Alberto Munoz Moyano claimed he only had $100.
Okay.
They found $9,000. That prompted them to search all the flight attendants. See, this is what happens. One guy screws up. You got to take it there. If you're busted, you tell them I got $9,000, boom, done. They're not going to check everybody else.
I mean, is it illegal to have money?
It's illegal to do what they were doing, apparently. According to reports, the four told the law enforcement they were promised a 1% cut of the money that was found on them. So they were basically laundering money, and they were promised a percentage for carrying it over.
I would never do that.
They were charged with money laundering, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years. They're being held on $10,000 bond and an immigration hold.
They were getting 1%?
Yeah, out of 22K, that's not much.
Boy, it seems like a ripoff.
Yeah, dude, if I'm carrying your money, I just want you to know, drug lords in South America, if I'm carrying your money to the States,
it's a 10% minimum.
Yeah, minimum. I'm going to want 25. I'm not going to lie.
There's four of them?
Yeah.
So they each would have made $500.
Yeah. So you're telling me like the waitress gets 20%, but the money launderer gets 1%?
Man,
come on.
You know, I don't want to say anything.
Pizza delivery guy gets better than 1%.
But looking at the mugshots, they probably need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
that is not an attractive group. But, So, I wonder how common that is. But it made me think of Jackie Brown when they busted her coming back with all that money. Because she got ripped off, too. She never got a whole lot from Samuel L., as I recall. Which is why he was going to try to kill her.
Yeah.
So... 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, man, we're talking about movies, and I asked you the other day what that deal was with the Will Smith movie. Do you see how much that thing's going to lose?
No.
Looks like $75 million in losses, apparently. Just
Gemini Man?
Gemini Man is apparently an absolute bust, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Said it was sidelined by bad reviews and the staying power of Joker. I never think that one movie impacts another like that generally, but I was watching the previews and it just didn't look very interesting. So then it got bad reviews, but it's anemic worldwide total of, it sounds anemic, and it is when you consider how much they spent. $118.7 million worldwide.
Jeez.
It opened $20.5 million domestically. And
When's the last time Will Smith had a full-blown box office flop?
Well, I think the better question was, when was his last big hit? Because, I think you got to go back to, like, Men in Black or something.
No.
It's been a while, man. I mean, he did that Netflix movie, which...
Which that was a success.
Yeah, I would call that a success, but it's hard to judge that based on box office.
Right.
Because it's a subscription thing. But when was his last big hit?
Yeah, I'd have to give it some thought. He did the... didn't he just do a Bat... Or no, that's... He's doing a... when did he do the last Bad Boys movie?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that did all that.
That was
great.
Like mid-2000s, I think.
No, I thought they were doing a Bad Boys 3. Maybe it's just not
They're
out
working
yet.
On it. It's not out yet.
He was in the live-action Aladdin.
Okay.
That made a lot of money.
Did it?
Yeah. He was in Suicide Squad.
And that was...
He wasn't like the star of it.
No.
Well, he was kind of the star.
But he had that whole stretch of stuff like... 7 pounds and concussion.
Concussion. Focus.
Yeah. There were some just bad ones in there.
Yeah, I guess it's probably like Men in Black 3.
I was going to mention I Am Legend. That didn't do worth a damn.
Did it not?
No, it really didn't. I mean, I liked it because it's vampires. But, yeah, it didn't really do very well. So he says iRobot was probably the last one he led.
No, the last Men in Black movie would have been the last one he was like a big star factor in. And those all made a bunch of money. He did that movie. God, that movie Pursuit of Happiness always makes me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I ever saw that.
And then it's about a dad and a single dad and trying to make a better life for his son. Oh, gets you in the feels.
Well, I got no interest in that. I'd rather him kill robots. Okay. Get back to that.
Okay.
Sorry. That's what I like. That and when he was flying around killing aliens in Independence Day.
My guess is the last time when... Because Wild Wild West was like a giant box office flop, wasn't it?
Yeah, and boy, that was... You want to talk about a waste of some really good actors, too. That the plot in that thing was so awful, where the bad guy's a spider, and yeah. It just... Ugh. And it could have been so good. That was frustrating to watch. So... I don't know. There was a stretch there, though, where anything you put him in was going to be huge. And... I don't know where it went awry, but maybe it's when you started trying to act instead of just being an action guy.
Yeah.
So I have to go back and look a little closer at what all he's done. So After Earth, somebody mentioned. I never even saw that. I'm guessing by the name, it's probably a sci-fi thing. Here's a public service announcement. Yeah, I love science fiction. Stop making sci-fi movies. They cost a ton of money, and none of them ever hit. And the only thing that hits in science fiction anymore is basically comic book movies that have space, like Guardians of the Galaxy. That counts. But otherwise, man, those things are flops.
Yeah.
They just, it never happens. He was in Hancock. If you ever saw the uncut version of Hancock, I like that. There's a scene where he's having relations with a girl in his little trailer, and when he reaches the conclusion, like this huge thing of light shoots through the roof and he has to throw her off him. It's pretty funny. It's not in the version that you see on cable. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Yo, Adrian says, I still think the best movie he did was Six Degrees of Separation. I think my favorite Will Smith movie was probably the first Men in Black. That or iRobot. Nobody has The Legend of Bagger Vance in there.
It's not bad. That's more of a Matt Damon movie, though.
And it's also a Charlize Theron with the really bad accent movie. World-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater, thanks to St. Luke's Music with Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30 and includes light bites both before and after Goodall's presentation, plus a Q&A with Ken Hoffman, perhaps Houston's biggest Beatles fan. This is an exceptional, rare opportunity, the first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. Tickets are now on sale at sportsmap.com. Go to sportsmap.com. It's right there. And get your tickets. I'm really interested in this, to see this. I'm not really interested in the Q&A with Ken Hoffman.
No.
But...
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to that thing. I'm trying to get my mom to come up here and go to that.
That'd be pretty cool. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday or the day before, that Joe Rogan had that long interview with Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
And you left out the most important thing that came from the interview.
What was that?
Well,
I haven't heard the whole thing yet.
No, okay. Well, you don't have to. You could just read about it. But he searched the CIA's computers for lots of stuff, right? Including proof of aliens and UFOs. And obviously, he had access to a lot of stuff, right? But he was looking into the truth behind Area 51. The bad news, there's no evidence.
I mean,
and Joe Rogan obviously wanted there to be aliens.
Everybody did. Everybody wants
Neil deGrasse Tyson. He says Neil deGrasse Tyson wants there to be aliens. I want there to be aliens.
They're just not aliens.
He says there probably are, but the idea that we're hiding them, if we are hiding them, I had ridiculous access to the networks of the NSA, the CIA, the military, all these groups. I couldn't find anything. So if it's hidden, and it could be hidden, it's hidden really damn well, even from people who are on the inside. So, and then he kind of goes into conspiracy theories and tells you, yes, the moon landing was real.
Okay.
So for he kind of goes after some of the conspiracy theorists. The moon landing was real. Climate change is real. Chemtrails are not a thing, Snowden stated.
Okay.
Which I have friends who believe in that chemtrail thing. And it's like, come on, guys. That's a flat earth theory. Because what is it they're putting in there? And who's putting it in there? And what government is manipulating us? Yeah, well, but I'm very disappointed that there are no aliens. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
People keep talking about, oh, Independence Day, Independence Day. How long ago was
that? That was a long time ago.
What year did Independence Day come out? Aaron, make yourself useful and look that up. Because I'm going to guess.
The 90s.
90s, yeah. I'm going to guess 90s, at most early 2000.
1996.
There you go.
I was a sophomore in high school.
1996 is when that came out. And I'm not really good at math, but that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I really don't want to go break down all of his movies because I don't care enough. I just know that Gemini Man was a bust. I like that Bright that he did on Netflix. I know that was a little different with the orcs and all that stuff, but I liked it.
There's a thing called Box Office Mojo.
Yeah, they moved it over to IMDb Pro so they could charge people who want to look at stats like
that's
that.
That's garbage.
I need to talk and see if I can find a way to get that written off and just pay for it so I can keep an eye on stuff.
It's garbage.
God, he had a really good stretch going back to, I don't know. I think it kind of fell apart. He's done a lot of movies that just aren't very good. I have to admit.
He's done over $2 billion. In the box office. Okay,
so Bad Boys was 95, Independence Day 96, Men in Black 97. That's a pretty good run.
Boy, that's a great run.
Then Enemy of the State.
I think that made a lot of money too, though.
Wild Wild West.
I don't think that made a lot of money.
Bagger Vance.
That's like an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I found a site that gives you how much each movie made.
Okay.
Let's see. Bad Boys made only $75 million in the box office.
Wow.
Oh, a worldwide box office, $141 million. That's not bad. Independence Day, $817 million.
Okay, that's a good one.
Men in Black, $587 million. Enemy of the State, $250 million.
Okay, that's a positive.
Wild Wild West, $221 million.
Interesting.
Was it just really expensive to make? Because I remember about it being like a bust.
What'd Bagger Vance make?
Bagger Vance, $39 million.
Ooh. Ali,
$87 million.
This is where it starts falling off.
Well, it's about to get a bump.
Wild Wild West cost $170 million to produce.
Okay.
Okay. That's so it only made $50 million.
Well, that's gross. So it probably didn't make anything.
Men in Black 2, $441 million.
Okay.
Bad Boys 2, $273 million. I, Robot, $348 million.
See, I like that movie because
this is where guys make their real money.
Shark Tale?
Shark Tale.
Yeah.
You do these cartoon animated movies, $371 million for Shark Tale. Hitch, $366 million. Pursuit of Happiness, $307 million. boy, and then he goes on another pretty stellar run. I Am Legend made $585 million.
Wow.
Hancock, his third highest grossing film, $624 million. No, fourth highest, because 7 Pounds was $166. Men in Black 3, $654 million. After Earth, $251 million.
But he had a stretch there of The Human Contract, Secret Life of Bees, Lakeview Terrace, 7 Pounds, Karate Kid. I don't know if he was. I don't.
Well, these are like his lead roles. Yeah. Okay. The only thing it gives is if he's in a lead role.
Okay.
Focus, $168 million. Concussion, $50 million.
Who would want to watch that? That's just such a dumb concept.
Suicide Squad, $746 million.
Yeah, but he can't really get credit for that.
Well, Margot Robbie were the big stars.
No, the Australian guy was the big star in that movie.
How about this number? Aladdin. $1.03 billion worldwide.
Wow.
Ridiculous. That's like that's his biggest stuff.
Gemini Man, not so big. No. So
Gemini Man currently at $121 million.
Bad Boys for Life is supposed to come out in 2020.
Okay, that'll do well. And he's doing a movie called King Richard. So,
interesting.
I don't know. I still think he's a pretty viable star.
I think he's had some stretches there where it hasn't been great. Like before Suicide Squad, that was like Men in Black 3. The Suicide Squad was a pretty bad run there for him. So, and really, you had to go back to Hancock. That was 2008.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's had some stretches. 832 says a
cute. So, King Richard, it's not about like the King Richard. It's about Serena and Venus's parents. Like he's playing Serena and Venus Williams' dad.
Interesting. A Q&A with Houston's most famous Hoffman, sweet, from 832. So.
Who's that? What are they talking about?
Talking about Ken Hoffman. Oh. Most famous Hoffman.
Top five.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to keep razzing him until he redoes that list.
Yeah, well, he's never has, right? He came on the show and talked to you about it, but he's never redone his list. I don't know how to feel about that. I'm probably on the list of most famous Fowers.
Oh, certainly.
Because there's just not a whole hell of a lot of those.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I have to tell you about MyBookie. And you want to win? You want to get paid? MyBookie's got you covered. You want to get in on the game tonight? You heard us talking about some of the numbers earlier. You heard us go over all the NFL for the weekend. A lot of college yesterday we talked about. All of those games that I said I was going to play, I'm going to play on MyBookie. And hopefully I'm going to win. Because when you do and you cash out, guess what? Nobody pays out faster. They're going to get your money. And part of the gamble with some of these websites is put your money in. You never get it out. That doesn't happen with MyBookie. You're going to get paid. And they have in-game wagering, which is great. In case you get home too, you know, if you're listening to us and you get home too late to make a play, well, guess what? You can still get in on the games. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 to wager. And they've got other first-time deposit options on there. Check them all out when you sign up. Use promo code RADIO to get that exclusive offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. And if you're already on there, they've got all kinds of bonuses for you, too. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.